of Luke chapter 22. Might make a note. Jeremiah sang the song, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Everybody knows that Calvary is the name of the place where Jesus died, right? My Bible reading this morning, I was in Luke chapter 23, and I read verse 33, which is the only place in the Bible where the name Calvary appears. That kind of a, you normally wouldn't think that, that Calvary, as well as we know it, we sing about it, we would think that that name Calvary appears many times in Scripture, but it's only in the Bible one time, and that's in Luke chapter 23. And I've told you before, it's only one time in your Bible if you've got a King James Bible. Because if you've got any other Bible, it's not in there at all. And the funny thing is that people that are using all the different versions will still sing about Calvary, now not as much as we do. But they'll occasionally still sing about Calvary and record and know that when they do, they're singing a word that's only found in the King James Bible. They despise the King James Bible. They say, "Oh, despise it. Give me 5 minutes with them, you'll find out they despise it." And that word's found in our Bible. Thank God that it is. Thank God that we sing "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." We know what we're talking about. We know the place we're talking about, where Jesus died for our sins. But we're in Luke chapter 22 this morning, and in verse number 47, we continue going through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to tackle a big passage of Scripture this morning. I'm going to begin reading in verse 47 and read that all the way down to verse 48. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 47. "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Father, thank you again for the opportunity that is ours to be here this morning. God, we don't want to waste this opportunity. Father, we need to hear from heaven. God, we need something from your word. Father, I acknowledge the fact that I'm neither know that your word is worthy. Father, your spirit is capable of taking your word and applying it to each and every heart. Father, that's what we need here today. God, everybody that's here this morning needs your word. One area of our life or another, we need you to speak to us, and Father, we know that you speak through your word. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that while the sermon is being preached, that God, you would touch from heaven each and every heart and give us exactly what we need here this morning. Father, you have the ability to do that, and we trust you to do it here today. May every heart feel the voice of God and hear the voice of God as to what you would say to us today. And Father, we pray especially, should there be anyone in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, may they recognize the peril that their soul is in today. Father, may they come trusting Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, the free gift of eternal life. May they be adopted into the family of God today. Father, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we read these two verses this morning, I want to pose a question to you, and the question is simply this. What is the worst thing Judas Iscariot ever did? Now, Judas did a lot of bad things. He was one of the Lord's disciples. You know who Judas is. He was one of the 12. In fact, the Bible, as you read through the Gospels, almost every time Judas is named, there's a little phrase that's put in it, Judas, who is one of the 12. It's like the Lord emphasized it, because 7 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it could have just said, and Judas came, but it said, and Judas, who was one of the 12. God put an emphasis on the fact that Judas was numbered with the disciples. But in John chapter 6 and verse 70, the Bible says also, Jesus said to the 12 gathered there, he said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? See, Judas could fit in the crowd. He could appear to be like everybody else, and he could, and in fact, when the Lord said at that supper, he said, one of you is going to betray me. They all looked at each other and said, who is it? Is it I? Because there was nothing in Judas that gave anyone any reason to suspect he was the devil. He was the one among them when Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you, it was him, and nobody around the table could identify him or spot him as being one of those. His proximity, his closeness, his nearness to everything spiritual, everything right, his contact with Jesus Christ and the saints of God, the disciples, everything was fine. But all along, there was a wicked problem in Judas's heart. And from time to time, it showed itself. I want you to see that. Look at John chapter 12. Keep your place there, because obviously we'll be back here in Luke chapter 22. But look at John chapter 12. See, here's the problem. If Jesus Christ is not in your heart, it's going to show. You can mingle with the saints. You can fellowship with the people of God. You can sing the hymns and fit in to a large degree. You can do that. But eventually, your unbelief is going to be revealed. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people. That's an old expression. You can't fool God any of the time. God knows the motives of our heart and the things that drive us, and God can spot those things. And Judas never did have a right motive for what he did. He was always against the Lord, though he very rarely let it show on the outside. So, preacher, why are you making emphasis there? I would hope that's not true of anybody here. But I know that it's possible. I know it's possible to walk in these doors and sit in these pews and tolerate or put up with or even enjoy the service for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday morning. 10:45 to 12 o'clock, an hour and 15 minutes. You can sit through that once a week and maybe even be back Sunday night or Wednesday. You could go through all that and just be a Judas sitting in the pew. It could be all right on the outside, but inside it's a wicked heart. Inside it's not getting with the program. That's what Judas was. Walking and traveling with the disciples, doing miracles along beside them, preaching the gospel. But his heart was never with the program. Look here in John chapter 12, if you wouldn't, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with their hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What a wonderful thing was done this day. At the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, his sister. Lazarus in chapter 11 had been risen from the dead, raised from the dead by Jesus Christ himself. Now he sits down at supper with Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Martha is serving them. And Mary gets down and begins to open up something, an ointment, and to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with it. Showing her worship, showing her love for Jesus Christ. But what did Judas say, verse number 4? Then saith one of his disciples, and again that's pointed out, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas wasn't with what was going on. You know, somebody might have sat there and said, well, you know, he's got a good point. Somebody that isn't biblically astute, let's say, or somebody that's not spiritually aware would have said, you know, Judas has a good point there. He's not off base. That money could have fed a lot of hungry people. You get into measuring all these things out and how much it was worth and all that, and it's about a year's wages that was the value of that ointment that she put on his feet. A year's wages, think of it in our terms today. Whatever a person would make in a year, that's the amount she broke open and used that ointment to anoint his feet. And Judas says, hey, that could have been used for a different purpose. Instead of worshiping one person and wasting it, so to speak, on one person, it could have fed many people. And a lot of gullible people would have sat there and said, you know, he's got a good point. That's right. But the Bible tells us in verse number 6, that Judas said this not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and barrel that was put therein. See, Judas' true colors are revealed by the Word of God. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about them. He wanted that 300 pence. He wanted that year's worth of money put into the treasury because he was the treasurer. And not only was he the treasurer, but the Lord says in the Word of God, he was a thief. What a rotten scoundrel. trying to use the Lord's purposes to pad his own account. Now folks, can I tell you, the only thing that men learn from history is that men never learn from history. And there are a lot of Judases around today that don't really care about the poor. Don't really care about all these programs they're putting out there. They're worried about padding their own bank accounts. They give a distasteful name to Christ. They give a bad witness to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to spot them, the only way you know here that what Judas said was wrong is because the Bible tells you in the next verse. And I want to emphasize today, of all the things I do, I want to emphasize the fact that if you don't know the Bible, you will be taken in as a gullible Christian. Not everything is the way it appears out there in this life. And time after time, Christian people get taken by people that if they were reading their Bible, they would know there's something wrong with that. Why are the crooked televangelists so successful? Because there's so many Christians that never touch their Bible outside of Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They've got the magazines and the newspapers and the newscasts and all that stuff, and they read all that, and to a certain degree they say, well, you know, the preacher said this, and I remember this from church, and that doesn't sound right, but a lot of it they miss completely because they're not in the Bible themselves. They're not spiritually aware, and they get sucked into a lot of stuff, and they probably would have donated to Judas Iscariot to help him take care of the poor. Isn't Judas a pretty wicked guy? And somebody might say, that's the worst thing Judas Iscariot ever did. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Verse number 14. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. Then one of the 12, didn't I tell you that was going to come? Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. You recognize that Judas had a money problem. The first instance we just looked at, he wasn't concerned about the poor, but he held the bag and the money went in it. He had a covetous spirit. He had a love of money, which is the root of all evil. Judas Iscariot has a problem with money, and that's what prevented him from accepting Jesus Christ. When you get putting all this together, the thing that made him follow Jesus Christ was the promise of a kingdom, and he would be the treasurer. How'd you like to be a treasurer of a kingdom? There's a lot of money going through your hands. That's what Judas saw. That was the bright lights. It was the dollar signs. It was the green. And that's what lured him to Jesus Christ. That's what brought. It was never a sincere faith in him. It was what he could get out of it. And let me tell you this, that the Bible is not off base when it shows us that philosophy and that thought. And today in our day, there are many people that are alert to Jesus Christ, not out of sincerity for the gospel and forgiveness of sins, but for something else that they can get out of it. And you and I need to be aware that that spirit's out there and that we don't take everything that we see. Somebody said, well, I don't believe anything I hear and only half of what I see. Don't believe half of what you see. Because there are a lot of Judases out there, a lot of people are out there that are doing whatever they can. Chapter 26 and verse 15, he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And they say, well, preacher, that had to be the worst thing that Judas ever did. He delivered up, he betrayed Jesus Christ. He went to those Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees that were trying to catch him, but you know, every time they went somewhere, he would escape out of their hands. He would get away from them. And so finally, they covenant with Judas Iscariot because he knew where he would be. He knew he would be in the Garden of Gethsemane that night. He knew where his private prayer place was. And he was willing to invade that place of prayer for 30 pieces of silver. Willing to turn in Peter, James, and John that were with him in the garden that he knew were always closer to the Lord than he was. He's willing to do all this for 30 pieces of silver. You say, that's got to be the worst thing Judas ever did. But let's look at something else. Look at Matthew chapter 27. And we're fast forwarding past the crucifixion and past all these things and looking at something else that Judas did that many, I'm sure, would say. Well, criticizing Mary for anointing the Lord's feet, and that's not the only time he did that. There was another woman that did that. In Matthew and Mark, a different occasion at the house of Simon the leper, where a woman did that, and Judas went through the same routine, you know, that money could have been given for the poor. And you say, well, that's got to be the worst thing he ever did. Somebody would say, well, no, when he conspired for 30 pieces of silver to deliver and betray the Lord Jesus, that's got to be the worst thing he ever did. But many would say this in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Surely many of us would say the worst thing that Judas ever did was taking his own life. And truly that is a terrible thing. And may I say this to make it clear, the Bible never condones one taking their own life. And may I say in the days that we live in, the Bible never condones one taking someone else's life. You can be easily deceived into the philosophy of quality of life and assisted suicide and all those kind of things and be contrary to what the Bible clearly states in the value of life. No one has the ability to determine if someone else should live or die. Life and death are in God's hands. Whether it's a Terry Schiavo kind of thing, which many of you are familiar with, or whatever else might be, we need to remember, life and death are in God's hands. The whole abortion industry has forgotten that, and that philosophy has penetrated into Christian minds that ought to know better. Judas Francis Scott went out and hung himself. Nobody has the right to take their own life. Can I say this just as a side note? Prepared to say it, not a rabbit trail. That's the difference between a side note and a rabbit trail. Rabbit trail is when I say it, one plan I'm saying it. Side note is I had planned on saying this, although it's a side note. I went recently to the funeral of a fellow I worked with for 8 years at Famous Supply. I was 37 years old. And for a reason, as far as I know, unknown to anyone around him, even his wife, who he had married less than a year previous. So she'll celebrate their anniversary in October, and he's already dead. Because for what, some reason,